Morning, y'all. Hope you're having a wonderful Thursday morning and that everything finds you well today. We're so glad to be able to come into your place of listening, whether it be your automobile, whether it be your place of work, whether it be maybe around a cup of coffee or at your house as you're preparing to go off and get your day started. We're so glad that you've tuned in this way. My name is Bradley Boone, and I'll be your radio preacher for the next 15 minutes. I'm the pastor of the Concord Baptist Church up in Burnsville, North Carolina, in Yancey County. And we're excited about this open door and opportunity for us to be able to bring the Word of God to you each day, Monday through Friday, right here on this radio station at this same time. We trust that you'll tell others about the Gospel Way radio broadcast. We're studying this week from the book of Genesis, chapter number 13. We want to return back to those verses, but first, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. It seems like I have on my heart this morning someone who is struggling physically. Maybe you're listening to me this morning, you've got a physical ailment, some kind of problem, maybe even homebound. And we want to help you pray about that today, and then of course, help everyone pray for a safe day and a good day. So let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for this open door and opportunity of the radio. Lord, where we can go out and reach into the homes of countless folk. Lord, and help be a blessing. God, I pray that you would do a work, Lord, through this radio ministry. I pray that it would be a blessing to everyone that listens. Do that now as only you can, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, we've been looking this week in Genesis chapter number 13. In Genesis chapter number 13, we find that we have the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham who become engaged in strife, basically due to the fact that both men had become so increased in goods. And that strife leads to separation. And we find that Abraham gives Lot the opportunity to survey the land and to decide which direction in which he wants to go. And so he falls for an old trick of the devil. He looks out at the well-watered plains of Jordan and he finds himself desiring to go in the direction of Sodom. But no doubt he's heard how wicked the men of Sodom are. Men with men, women with women. What we would call a homosexual lifestyle today, God's calls it a sin. He'd no doubt heard how horrible that it was, and no doubt realized that he shouldn't be there. And so the Bible tells us in verse number 12 that while Sodom did not go all the way to Sodom, while Lot did not go all the way to Sodom, what he did instead was pitch his tent toward Sodom. And I've been preaching this week on the dangers of living on the edge. Edge living. Edge living is a very, very dangerous thing. That is someone who is saved, maybe even is a pretty regular attender of church, but leans in the direction of ungodliness, allows this world to have far too much influence over them daily, and becomes more like the world than they do like Christ. I've talked to you this week primarily about the first danger of edge living, and that is a danger of proximity. Now, this danger of proximity, I pointed out this week, allows for an association with sin, or allowed, first of all, for an adjustment to sin. As Lot was nearby, he began to be adjusted to the ways that the Sodomites lived. And then it also allowed for an association with sin, as no doubt Lot became friends with some of the folks that would sojourn out of the city of Sodom and decided that maybe those people weren't so bad after all. And then it also allowed for an alienation, because the closer that Lot got to Sodom, and every day that Lot experienced and faced the ungodly influence of Sodom, was another day away from Abraham and the blessings of God. And my friend, a man can't serve two masters. The closer you live to Sodom, the farther you'll live from God. And so we see that there is this danger of proximity. Now, the second thing that I want to point out to you this morning, the second problem with edge living is that there is this problem of pull. Not only proximity, but pull. I'm going to say this to you. People who live on the edge rarely ever stay there. People who start towards sin rarely ever stop short of sin. It didn't take very long as Lot faced the pull of Sodom, because we find in the very next chapter, in Genesis chapter number 14 and in verse number 12, the Bible says, "And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who," here's our word, "dwelt in Sodom and his goods, and departed." So we see in the very next chapter, we find Lot no longer pitching his tent towards Sodom, but dwelling in it. Oh, he has allowed the adjustment and the association to cause him to pull him into the place where he is now living in the very place where only a chapter earlier he would have never have dreamed. And while it is true that no doubt Sodom came to Lot at some point, Lot made the decision to come to Sodom. Now you have to ask yourself why. Why is it that Lot decided to live in this ungodly place? Why is it that this man decided that it would be a good idea for him and his family to go and dwell in the midst of such ungodliness? Well, I've got a few theories on that. And I'll give them to you if you'll let me. Let me say, first of all, that I believe that it could have been that it was an area or an issue of convenience. Perhaps they grew tired of having to walk to the city to sell and buy. Perhaps they thought, you know, it would be easier if we just lived in Sodom. Maybe one night in the tent, as Mrs. Lot was preparing the night's supper, she looked over at Lot and said, "Lot, pass me the salt. I need a little salt for the fish that we're fixing." Lot reaches into the cupboard and he says, "Uh-oh, we're out of salt." And she says, "I cannot believe that when you were in Sodom earlier, you forgot to pick up salt." And he said, "I'm sorry, honey, but it's just so far now for us to get back over there, and it takes so long for us to get there." And she says, "You know, we probably ought to just move to Sodom. The grocery store would be just right around the corner. All the kids' friends live there. You know, at first I didn't like their music, but now I can't hardly get enough of it. I hum it when I wake up in the morning. I'm singing the songs of Sodom. At first I thought they were strange, Lot, but the more I get to know them, the more I realize they're just friendly people. They've got nothing but our good at interest and at heart, and it'd be so much easier if we would just live in Sodom." There was an old man told me one time, and I've found this to be true in my life. He said this, he said, "Making easy decisions will equal a hard life." He said, that's almost always the case. Easy decisions equals a hard life. It's almost always true that if you can figure out what is the easy thing to do and do it, you will at the same time figure out what it is that the devil wants you to do. Because the devil sees to it that what he wants you to do is easy on the flesh. It's easy to attain. He makes it more and more possible. It's an area of convenience. And so the devil always makes sin seem like the easy way out. Oh, it's a lot easier when you're got a problem at work just to lie about it. Sin's the easy way out. Oh, it's a lot easier to cheat to get by. It's a lot easier that way. It's the easy way out. I remember one time in high school, I was not very good at math. Fact was, I wasn't very good at anything in high school. But particularly math was a sore subject for me. And there was this girl that sat next to me, and she was really good at math. And so I convinced her every morning to meet me prior to our math class so that I could sit down and copy the previous night's homework, basically because I was too lazy to fool with it. And so one day prior to math class, as I sat there and hurriedly jotted it down, I had actually got it to it down to a T, I thought, down to an absolute science. What I would do is, as the problems went across the top, I would jot down the top numbers. Then I would go back and I'd jot down all the middle numbers. Then I'd go through and I'd make a line under each. And then I'd go through and I'd write out all the answers. And occasionally I would purposely get one wrong because I knew my math teacher was too smart to think I was going to make 100 on everything. And so one morning in the Commons area there at Mountain Heritage, I hurriedly copied my homework. It was the easy thing to do. It was simple. It took me 5 minutes, whereas if I was going to have to do it the right way the night before, it was going to take me a long time and I was going to miss out on a lot of playing that I wanted to do. But that day, somehow, my system went awry. And what I ended up doing was having the answer for the preceding problem on the next problem of every problem. And so with every math problem that came along, the answer for it was under the next problem. Well, you can imagine that the math teacher, it didn't take her very long to discover that I was copying someone's paper. And what seemed to me to be an easy decision to make, all of a sudden, was a problem. Can I say to you that such is the way of life? When you decide to do that which is easy, when you face decisions, and you know that which is right, but that which is right is hard, and so instead you decide to go the easy route, you may get by for a little while, but what you'll find out is that the easy route almost always leads to a harder life. Maybe it was an issue of convenience. They moved to Sodom just because it's easier that way. And there's a lot of Christians that live in sin just because it's easier. It's easier not to have to explain to people why you don't listen to the same music they do. It's just easier not to have to explain that. It's easier not to have to explain to the kids' teachers why your kids can't participate in certain things. Over here at our local middle school, the drama teacher had given out a play that was full of filthy language just a few weeks ago. And when it was brought to my attention, I've got a son that's in the eighth grade with whom I'm very proud of. When it's brought to my attention, I thought to myself, you know, the easiest thing on me and the easiest thing for him, so he don't get ridiculed and so he don't run up foul with his teacher, the easiest thing for us to do, just be quiet about it, let it go. That would be the easiest thing. But it wasn't the right thing. You see, it sometimes it's just an issue of convenience. Then, can I say, it may have been an issue of complacency. They had become so complacent, so adjusted, so that they became attracted to it, and then they actively participated in the sin without being overwhelmed by it, because they had become complacent to it. Maybe it was a lack of conviction that caused them to move into Sodom. They've been away from godly influence so long that they no longer felt convicted about it. Things go on in church houses these days that many years ago would have embarrassed us. Isn't that true? Oh, God, help us not to be edge dwellers. Our time's come and gone. We hope you'll tune in tomorrow and encourage others to do so as well. And until then, this is Bradley Boone, the pastor of the Concord Baptist Church, saying may God richly bless you, is our prayer.